We want to welcome you. We love the fact that you want to learn the truth, learn the higher things of the kingdom, and more than what it does to our hearts, it does great things to the heart of the Lord. He wants our number one quest to be to know Him, to know His truth, and to walk in what we know. So I want to share some things with you in that light. I'd like to say about Donald Trump. I know I have received messages from Christians who have a very difficult time believing the godly side of Trump because of his language and because of some of the things that get stirred up about him. And I want to encourage you, please don't listen to those things. Your prayers for him need to be prayers read out of the Word. For instance, Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. God calls him his lion. He doesn't call him the lion. He calls him his lion. And the Bible strictly charges us not to judge another man's servant. So although there are things that we would like not to find out about Donald, what we need to do is forgive him and exercise grace toward him. This man is being used by God to turn this nation right side up. And what he's going through is very difficult. We need also to be praying for Bill Barr, because he's going through the same thing that Trump is going through. And it has little to do with anything that the news says it has to do with. It has to do with one thing. The elite want America, and they want us in the New World Order. And Trump, his administration, those who are working with him, are trying to help us escape that system. So they want to bring him down so that the power of our escape is removed from us. They want to remove God from America, and Trump is fighting for a new place for God in America. So he's actually bearing mantles from several Old Testament people. He has upon his shoulders the mantle that was upon King David, the mantle that was upon Cyrus, and many other mantles to enable him to do what he's doing. And he does have the mantle of a lion. He also has the mantle of Joseph. And if you look at what that means, in the book of Genesis, you are going to be amazed because of how we're seeing it play out. I really appreciate you. I know if he knew the price you pay to stand in the gap for him, he would really appreciate you. But the most important thing is that God really appreciates you. He needs us to pray and to keep praying. We've been praying over this nation for 20 years in a very highly directed way. We don't ever go to the platform praying our prayers, praying our will. You don't ever go into the throne room of God praying something you want just because you want it. If he answers a prayer like that, you may wish that you hadn't prayed it. But by and large, he's merciful enough not to answer prayers that go against his will. And so knowing this about him and knowing that we need to go into the Holy of Holies to ensure that the prayers we pray are going to be of value to the kingdom of God and to America, we try to be absolutely certain that the Lord is saying, yes, this is my will. Pray this way. He has taken me up literally into the heavens, and he has taught me how to pray, how to seek his face, how to seek his will, how to know when I'm praying his will, and how to pray his will. So here we have a Donald that so many Christians are having so much hardship over, and yet I think that the struggle that they're in is causing them to not even pay attention to what God is doing through this man. We really are seeing the impossible happen, partially because we prayed, repenting on behalf of America, clearing the path, just as the Lord told me to do, so that he could send deliverance. When Donald came along, he enacted the wisdom that God gave him by faith, that God would do what he was calling him to do if he would obey. And so we have the spiritual and we have the temporal working together. The temporal will move as fast as our prayers will make the way. So be steadfast in prayer, steadfast in faith, steadfast as a wall of protection around Donald and God's will. And we will see everything that God desires for us to see. And I think for many, it's going to be a phenomenal thing, what we are going to see. So the blessings are coming, the fruit is coming, just keep standing. The Lord, before I taught you the last time, the Lord took me into an experience that was nothing short of wonderful. He has come to me many times talking about this kind of life, letting me experience the kind of life he was calling the church to. And it is so supernatural, not because you have a supernatural faith to live in the spirit of the world and the temporal plane, but because he wants to lift his church up into the supernatural life of the Spirit that he has created and called us to. And I began to share with you some things that he was speaking to me to help you clarify just exactly what this means for you. God wants us to come into a greater faith. He wants us to come into a higher expectation than we've ever had before. Now, some may have to, you know, wade through some battles for some of these things, but in doing that, it increases our faith. It I don't know that it increases the amount of faith, but it increases the sustenance of our faith to do a more perfect work on the inside of us. So don't ever worry about trials. You know, God's not standing there with his finger in your nose telling you what a bad Christian you are. What he's trying to do is to strengthen you, toughen you up, because our soul, as much as this may seem impossible to some of you, our soul cannot deal with the measure of life God wants to bring us into unless our soul and our spirit have been amply strengthened for that impartation. So don't worry. Just don't worry about difficulties. Just praise the Lord. Thank him for his faithfulness. Sometimes it can be pretty rough. But don't quit praising. Don't quit believing. Don't quit thanking him. Because whether it's a difficult season or whether it's a very mild season, he has things for us to learn in all of the seasons. That's why we have four seasons in the earth, is to help us know God is in every season. And he'll bring us through completing the whole cycle if we will just keep moving forward. Now, having said that, I want to say, why don't you turn in your Bible, if you have your Bible with you, to 8:23 of John, the book of John. It says, he says to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, of this earthly order. I am not of this world." Probably all of you have read that hundreds of times, and you've never connected with reality of what our Lord is saying. And I have to admit, I stand in the same place. So when the Lord spoke to me through this passage, he literally let me experience the truth of it in the spirit. And this is the truth. When we are born again, the Lord is doing more than just putting a seal upon our forehead that I talked to you about a couple of weeks ago. He is actually putting in you, maybe in the form of a seed, all things pertaining to life and godliness, all things pertaining to Christ and his kingdom. It's deposited in you at that time. But it's in seed form, so it's up to you, it's up to me, to nurture it. And you might say, well, how do you nurture it? Well, you pray, and you pray a lot. God, give me the insight, give me the grace, give me the understanding of what I've been given and why I've been given your life. If you keep praying in that way, he will begin to show you. I fasted and prayed a lot, not because I thought it would be a good idea, but he taught me, he began to teach me things about this life. And then he told me how to appropriate it. And so I simply did what he told me to do. Every time he's come to me and he has begun to talk to me again about this life, he always leaves in me an impartation. Now, am I saying different? That I needed more than what he gave in the beginning in seed form? There's something about the fresh impartation of his spirit that causes that seed to release the life that we need to experience the high places of God and the things for which we have been called. People might think, well, yeah, but you're a prophetess, so that's good for you, but how can I know that it's what he wants for me? Well, just ask yourself this simple question. If we are from below and he is from above, how is he going to have fellowship with us unless he changes something inside of us that can relate to that fellowship, that can endure it? I can remember close to 40 years ago driving down the highway, and I was just so in love with Jesus because I'd never experienced love like that. And I'm sure you guys have all gone through that. So I began to pray and just really cry out, let me feel the fullness of your love. Oh, Lord, please. I wanted it so badly. I was crying, pleading. Finally, he spoke to me and he said, Nita, I cannot answer your prayer. I was devastated. But I responded to him and I said, why? He said, because if I were to let you experience the manifestation of the fullness of my love, your spirit and soul, your flesh would literally explode because it could not contain it. Oh, I was so excited. I was being denied the highest because the highest was so high that only those in heaven could endure it. So now we move forward in faith, knowing we may not experience what we want to experience, but we can experience something so close to that, the life of heaven so close to that, that it feels like we are in an other worldly life. I don't know how else to put it. But he has to prepare our spirit, our soul, and our flesh to bear what he can give us in this life. And he does it through grace, through truth, through instruction, through discipline, and even through suffering. He uses everything, whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter. He uses everything to mature us if we are willing. If we're not willing, he goes with that too. I mean, he will sadly give us what we really want. And we can show him what we want by being willing to endure his training and teaching, endure the things that he asks of us, to endure the loss of whatever it is that he may feel like would be necessary. And if we will continue to praise him, to trust him, to love him, to seek him with all of our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit. May I say this, please? Where we are going in God, where we've come from, where we are going to, where we are at present, the things we are enduring in our inner man and concerning our outer man only has to do with Christ in the way that he is directing our path to obtain the highest goal he has for us. But our attitude toward it all makes all the difference in the world. One person may be suffering because the enemy is bombing them. Another person may be suffering because they are enduring the path to righteousness. We can't judge. We can't look at a person and say, well, you know, what you're going through is because of your lack of faith, because you may be so wrong. Only God knows the deep things of our heart and his desire to bring us through to a marvelous end. So he starts this by helping us over this passage. You are from below, I am from above. He has to bridge that gap in order to bring us into a place where we can become mature sons. The Greek word is huios, mature sons. Mature sons and daughters. He has to begin by giving us a nature we don't have. We may have heard about God, we may have a respect for God, but that doesn't make us a son or a daughter. And it certainly doesn't necessarily make us a mature son or daughter. So his desire and our need is for him to impart something into us that bridges that gap. Though we still have what the Bible refers to as the sin principle or the sinful nature, though we may still have that, he grants us the heavenly nature. He grants us the Christ nature. But our job to work with his spirit to subdue and eradicate the sinful nature is what we will spend many years, maybe even our whole lives, conquering. And again, that's not bad. Whatever it takes, it takes. But we will reap rich rewards for every step we take to go deeper into God. He loves us. He loves us so completely. We just simply can't imagine it. Even if we have experienced from time to time. You know, for instance, in a church service, we may feel the love of God upon us. But my brothers and sisters, I can honestly tell you that is such a minute portion of experiencing his true love, the depths of his divine love. Well, maybe I could just use the terminology. It's like the difference between night and day. So he calls us with his love. He sustains us with his love and by his grace. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I had an experience, I've had several experiences about this particular passage. And in many, many of my visitations from the Lord, he will either bring his own Bible or he will take my Bible and read it and teach me from it. Now, often he teaches me out of the Amplified. Sometimes he teaches me out of the King James, but those are the only two. He will read it to me, and then he will tell me what it means. And I have learned many times that what man says it means and what Jesus says it means are a little different. So let me please just take a minute here to go over this. It says, therefore, if any man be in, and that word in depicts a place of rest, not just walking through a door and then, you know, being busy and fretful and fearful and so on and so forth, but it means a place of rest in Christ. He is a new, well, the King James says, creature. And this word new in the Greek literally means new in essence. So what we have so far is, therefore, if any man be resting in Christ, he is a new, he has a new persona, a new essence he did not once have. Old things are passed away. And this speaks of or denotes a past action with ongoing and increasing results. So old things are passed away. There has been a legal exchange made. The sinful nature is still inside of you. Your flesh still follows your sinful nature too often. But you do have a new nature. You have a second nature. And that nature is the nature of Christ. And that nature is ruining, disabling, bringing to naught the very power of the sinful nature. This was a legal transition, a legal transaction the day you got saved. And it increases and increases as you continue to press into the Lord, continue to seek to obey his word, continue to humble yourself for your mistakes and repent. You know, I can't tell you enough that it's not enough to know truth. In fact, Jewish theologians, Jewish rabbis have forever believed that you don't really know truth until you're living it. So you may have scripture in your mind. You may have memorized many scriptures. But my dear friend, if you do not live truth, live by the fruits of the Spirit, live by righteousness, live in holiness, then you really don't know the truth. You have to live it to know it. And that's why God made the deposit of his Spirit, because he wants you to be able to live it. He wants you to be able to know and understand it, which we couldn't do without that presence and that power. So it says further, are becoming new. And in the Greek, that is the perfect tense, and it speaks of increasing action and confirms or continuous. It confirms the truth of God by continuous action. The Holy Spirit, who hears the voice of God, knows the mind of God, is constantly working within you to bring about God's life in you in its fullness. Now, the reason I'm explaining all this to you is because something is about to happen. Something you may not have anticipated. Something is about to happen that is going to be so dynamic, so otherworldly, so magnificent, so awesome, so inexplicable, that we don't have human words for it. We don't have English language for it. It's going to be an explosion of grace, an explosion of light, L-I-G-H-T, an explosion of life, L-I-F-E, in his people, that it is going to turn his people into a divine army. Not a militant army in the temporal sense, but an army of people who are captured and transformed by the life of Christ. People will look at these people and know they're not. They'll know you must have been with Christ, just like they said of Peter. They saw in the disciples that they were different, not just with their speech, but with their actions. They had powers that were unworldly. They recognized that these disciples had been with Christ, and that's what's going to happen in his church throughout the world. So the Lord wants you to make an effort to press in, so you can be in the middle of this thing when it happens. Now, let me take you down to 5:21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus appeared to me when I was living in Omaha. And he came to me to actually give me a teaching about how to endure conflicts with people, especially people that were antagonistic to the message I was created to bring to the church. And we're talking a little bit about that now. But as he talked to me, I saw every couple minutes like this black, murky blanket lift off of me, float through the air, and light upon him. Immediately, this snow-white blanket, again transparent, would lift off of him, come through the air, and settle on me. And when that transaction was completed, I would feel so cleansed. It was just so wonderful. This happened many times during the course of this conversation we were in. And he gave me this scripture and told me that this that I was experiencing is what this scripture means. He who knew no sin has become sin for us, And it isn't a one-time thing. It is something that is continually activated so that we can know that even if we make a mistake or even if we find ourselves trapped in a terrible sin, His forgiveness has already been set aside for us. He will free us of the sin and ultimately the sin nature, and He will grant us His forgiveness, His purity, His righteousness. So as this transaction was happening, He would always look so pleased. And I thought, how can He look pleased with what's coming from me? But it wasn't that. What He was pleased with was that He could impart Himself to me. And He was freeing me, liberating me from the captivity of the sin nature. So He explains all of this to me so that I can be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's His goal. So what I'm sharing with you tonight is that what is His goal in me is also His goal in you. But it's like this. When you put cheese into its container to be aged, the owner of that cheese has to come occasionally and scrape off the mold so that the cheese could continue to age. And he will do that until the cheese is right at the right flavor. And it's like that with a Christian. He allows the pressures to reveal the mold so that he can wipe it away. Another example is a goldsmith. When he first puts the gold in the cauldron, there are many elements that are not desirable. So they have to turn up the heat, and the heat gets hotter and hotter and hotter as the elements rise to the surface and it's skimmed off. When the goldsmith can finally look in the cauldrons and see his face as in a mirror, the gold is in perfect condition, free of all of its radicals, and highly prized in the market. And that's the way it is with a Christian. The pressures, the heat, are designed to help the things that may not ever have been revealed before come to the surface of our nature for us to see it. Not for him to see it, he already knows that it's there, but for us to see it, so that we will ask him to remove it, purify it, and free us from its power, which he will do. So if you're in trials today, start asking him if there's something specific that he's trying to deal with in you that you need to give to him so that he can bring you through this process, bring you into the purity of the pure gold. So let's look at Ephesians 2:5. It says, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He did that to make us beings from above. Without his spirit coming into union with our spirit, and eradicating the sinful nature. We cannot walk in the authority of the high places of heaven, and he wants that to happen. We can walk in a certain level of authority at any time, any place in our Christian growth. But it all is based on how much we've allowed the Holy Spirit to purify us of our mortality. So his goal is to bring us up into this grand place. I'm going to be very honest with you. His ultimate goal is to bring you into the place where the kingdom of light has exploded in you to such a degree that to see you is to see Christ. You have experienced the eradication of the sinful nature, and you are now a mature son of God. That is his goal. You will sound like Jesus. You will act like Jesus. Because Jesus will have complete dominion over you. Not only dominion, but his spirit will totally possess and own you. Having experienced this life so many times, both privately and even in the pulpit, I can tell you that it is, there's no human words to describe how wonderful it is. And yet it's available to every child of God who will say, I am willing to pay the price to have it. I can promise you the price cannot compare to the glory. It simply cannot. You want the mind of Christ? You need to be owned by the mind of Christ. And you will start living from that mind, from those thoughts, from the love, the joy, and the wisdom. One time when the Lord was trying to help me understand this, I was actually in a plane taking off from San Francisco to Hawaii to minister. I sat in my seat, and suddenly, as the plane was lifting off, the Lord opened a door in the realm of the Spirit, and there he stood. And I saw the light of the glory explode from his inner being, go throughout his legs, his feet, his arms, his face, his head. And it was the Christ nature. It was the God nature. We all know that he was all man and all God. And what I saw was Christ walking, possessed by God. The man Christ, possessed by God. This is how he was born. It never wavered, never changed throughout his life. He was always all man and all God. But his manhood was completely possessed by his Godhood. So he is standing there, a brilliant, like a brilliant, more than a torch, because the glowing light was so white it was blinding. And yet he's human. He's God come in the flesh. But this white, radiant light of his nature and character was so stunning. I sat there in my seat in total awe. And then he said to me, come to me, and I will give you all that I put in your heart to have. So I knew at that moment he was calling me to an even deeper walk, that he might possess me and give that to me. Today is the day that God is really putting his finishing touches on the adult sons of God, the manifested sons of God, for the purpose of bringing them forth. I want to plead with you not to judge what these people might be going through. Although, you know, it's human nature. Part of your success is going to be refusing to walk in the soulish wisdom of human nature and look for the higher truth in Christ. When he has completed his work in this first company, they're only the first company. They're not the only ones. There will be many, many who will follow them. But this first company has to break through the satanic strongholds in order to bring the church into what he's about to do. So rather than judge, pray. Pray that God will perfect them and have them ready right on time. Even if you don't feel like you know anyone that would fit in that company, still pray for them. As far as the church is concerned, the percentage of the church that will be in that company is very small. But that doesn't make them more special, more loved, or anything like that by God. It just is the way it has to be. The first company breaks through the strongholds that Satan continues to try to erect to keep them from coming through to the ultimate authority and power. When they have broken through, think about this. Remember when David would be out in the fields running from Saul, and he would have what he termed his mighty men, the mighty men of David, with him. There was a time when David made the mistake of saying, I'm thirsty. And these mighty men loved him so much, they rose up and broke through the Philistine strongholds to get him a drink of water. And that is what God is getting ready to release today. These people who have been being prepared for years will come forth, will break through the strongholds to prepare the way for the church to be endowed with the kingdom of heaven, walking in the glory of the kingdom. They will have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment. They'll walk in the miraculous, experience all nine gifts of the Spirit. And they will walk in all of the fruits of the Spirit. They will be so humble that they would never even think for even a minute of taking glory unto themselves that belongs only to Christ. They have been reduced so that Christ could live in them and be all in all. This is a wonderful time, and this is what he is preparing. Everything Trump is accomplishing in this nation, everything that he is accomplishing in this nation is to provide the environment and the atmosphere for God to do what he wants to do in his church. So please keep him in his administration and his call in your prayers.